The sermon today is just a joy to me. All the way through November, I am not preaching sermons that I have written. I'm preaching sermons that John Wesley wrote. Today's sermon is 269 years old. It was first preached in the year 1749. John Wesley was 46 years old. He had had 13 years earlier a powerful spiritual awakening, and he turned that loose on the nation of England and across the British Empire. And this is one of the sermons that he used to do this. Wesley was amazing. He was an ordained Anglican priest. He was ordained when he was 22 years old. So now this is 24 years, 5 years later. He never once intended the Methodists to become their own church. Not once. He always wanted it to be a revitalization movement within the Church of England. Well, what happened was that he was up and preaching in the pulpits, and eventually he was banned. They wouldn't even let him in the church because he was so radical in what he was preaching. And it wasn't that the content was so radical, it was how he was preaching. The man was on fire. When he would preach, his sermons were between an hour and 3 hours long. And when they eventually kicked him out of the church, what he did was to say, well, okay, fine. He went next door into the church cemetery and would stand on a tombstone. Now, let me ask you this. Is there one of you here today who stands about 5'3"? Is there anybody? Greta, would you stand for just a second? That's how tall John Wesley was. 5'3" and soaking wet. Thank you. Soaking wet, the man weighed 125 pounds. He would do radical things like this. He would go out on the road near the coal mines, and he would wait for the changing of the shifts, and when one shift was coming out and the other shift was coming in, he would start preaching. He'd get himself a chair and all 5'3" of himself, he would stand up, and he would start, and he would preach, if you can even fathom this, to 1,000 2,000, 3,000 people. We have records. There was one time when he preached to 5,000 people without a microphone, and he held them. Now, if you go into John Wesley's sermons, what you will discover is that, oh my goodness, on the page, they are as dry as burnt toast. And they're just miserable to read because they're in that old 300-year-old language. Well, today, we're going to take and use one of his most famous sermons, and we're going to break it down, and we're going to build it back up into common everyday language. And we're going to give you a taste of what it meant to be listening. Now, mind you, this is going to take me 20 minutes, 25, no 3 hours. And it's just a joy to say, listen now to Father Wesley. All right, would you bow with me in a word of quiet prayer? Amen. Are there any of you who are as sick and tired of the polarization in this nation as I am? Is there anybody else out there who just wants to go to the people who are screaming at each other and say, stop it, you, sit down, you, sit down? And what really is frustrating to me is when I know darn well that these people are inside churches. These are the people who are claiming that they are Christian. Really? Really? Because I'm telling you, I sure wouldn't have been able to tell it by your behavior. We as Christians are called to love each other, even in the face when no one else is loving in return. We are simply called to love each other. This is what the universal spirit is all about. This universal spirit is love. And I am not talking about that romantic, oh, you make my heart go pity-patter feeling. No, this is not about emotion. This is about commitment. A commitment that says, I am committed to you, and I want you to be committed to me as we love each other, stand with each other, guide each other. I want us to be committed together. God spoke about love so powerfully. Jesus spoke about love so powerfully. And a man came to Jesus and said, "What is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus said, "You will love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. And you will love your neighbor as yourself." And then Jesus stood in the gospel according to John and he said, "You need to know, I'm giving you a new command. Love one another. Love one another." This, spoken by a man who preached for 3 years and his message was so radical that he was assassinated. I give you a new command. Love one another. Now, there are two problems that we have with this. The first problem is that you and I do not think the same. And the second problem is you and I do not act the same. I want to tell you a story. This is an ancient story. It is a story that is about 3,000 years old. It comes to us from the book of 2 Kings. There were two kings. One was the king of the southern kingdom, Jehu. The other was the king of the northern kingdom. Israel had had a civil war, and they were split into a north and south kingdom. This was Jehonadab. Jehu and Jehonadab normally would have been at each other's throats. There was no love lost between these two men. There was no love lost between these two countries that had been brothers and sisters and now were alienated from each other. These two met on the battlefield, not to fight each other. Now, we don't realize this so much. Israel, basically, if we had put an interstate highway through the Middle East 2,000 years ago, Israel would have been on that interstate highway. There was a major trade route that led from the north up in Syria, down through Israel, all the way down into Egypt. Is it any wonder that this land was in such high demand? Is it any wonder that century after century, one army and then the next would come to defeat it? Well, what was happening is that there was another outside army that was coming in. And what Jehu and Jehonadab knew was that unless they combined forces against a common enemy, that they were both sunk. And so these two met on the battlefield against a common enemy. And Jehu went to Jehonadab and said, "Is your heart right? As my heart is with yours, then give me your hand." I want you to read this with me. Would you please, if you can pull up the scripture. Now, it says, after he left there, this is Jehu. This is the New International Version, so the wording is slightly different. Join me. After he left there, he came upon Jehonadab, son of Rechab, who was on his way to meet him. Jehu greeted him and said, "Are you in accord with me as I am with you?" "I am," Jehonadab answered. "If so," said Jehu, "give me your hand." So he did. And Jehu helped him up into the chariot. This is a bloody, bloody story. And it's a terrifying story. But out of the story, in the midst of it, comes this gem that we can hold inside of our faith. Is your heart right? As my heart is with yours, then give me your hand. What I want you to notice inside of here is that Jehu did not say to Jehonadab, "Is your opinion right?" Didn't say it. It wasn't about what Jehonadab thought. It wasn't about what Jehu thought. It wasn't about the opinions that they held that were so different, because I'm telling you, their opinions were very different. There was no love lost between these two men and these two nations. Is your heart right? As my heart is with yours. This is the first question that we have to ask and to tackle inside of our lives. If you and I are going to be part of the solution, then what does that mean and how do we do that? And Jesus was in the temple with his disciples, and as they were there, he watched this older woman come and put two copper mites into the offering box. Listen to this story. Here's the problem. You know, we look at all of the polarization out there, we look at all of the arguing that's going on in Washington, D.C., and we out in the middle of the Dakotas think, well, I can't do anything about that. Oh, well. No. No. You are a part of this nation. You are a part of this world, and your 2 cents counts. When you are willing to respond to this, when I am asking you today, is your heart right? I want to know, is your heart right? Do you have those two mites in your hands that it may not change the world, but it'll change you? It may not change the nation, but if enough of us do this, it's going to change the conversation. This is what we're about. Is your heart right, as mine is with yours? Now, the problem is that when we do this, we oftentimes run into prejudices that we didn't even know that we have. We just don't even think how deeply ingrained these are. Of course, we hear about racial prejudice, but there's also economic prejudice. When you meet people who are in a higher or a lower economic level than you, who simply live differently, beware. There could very easily be prejudice in how we treat each other and how we meet with each other. What about a cultural prejudice? If you have been raised in a different culture, I mean, it's as simple as the Wyoming border, 8 miles to the west. It doesn't seem like it when we're talking, but a Wyoming culture can be different than a South Dakota culture, which can be different from a Montana culture, which can be different from a Nebraska and a North Dakota culture. It's subtle, but it exists. These ways in which we hold prejudice, sometimes those prejudices come to us in our relationships. We're prejudiced against parts of our family or parts of our friends, for whatever reason that may be. We're not even aware a lot of times of the prejudices that we carry. So you know what? What I'm not asking today is your opinion right as mine is with yours? No, no, because here's the deal. We are never going to agree. You and I are never going to agree. We are never 100% going to agree with each other politically, culturally, economically. We're never, no. And if you're waiting for that, you're going to hold your breath for a long time. We have to move past our prejudices. If we are wise, we will allow others the same liberty that we want for ourselves. Look, do you want to hold a political opinion? Do you want to hold a cultural opinion? Do you want to hold an opinion about your community or your church? Wonderful. Do that. But if you expect to be given that, then you must allow others to hold their opinions also. It's fine. They can be wrong. But you have to let them hold it. That's what we're about. No one can force an opinion down your throat in the same way that you can't force an opinion down their throat. Have you ever stopped to think that that is an example? We're talking about God's love here. We're talking about a universal spirit that is a spirit of respect. We're talking about a universal spirit in which we get to live with each other. There are differences. And I want you to notice this. When Jehu reached out to Jehonadab, is your heart right? He did not ask, are your opinions right? And he did not ask, is your worship right? Because this was one of the major problems that the southern kingdom and the northern kingdom, Samaria and Judah, had with each other. They both thought the other was wrong in how they worshiped. We're the ones who are right. He did not ask, and he knew full well that Jehonadab worshiped and believed theologically in radically different ways than he did. He didn't ask it. He set all of that aside. so that they could actually agree on what was most important in that moment. Well, how do you know what to choose then? Is your heart right? Well, then how do you know what is right? You have been given a brain. You have been given emotions. You have been given experience. You have been given scriptures. You have to explore. You have to know. You have to learn yourself. What is it that you believe is right? Now, how do you act on it? A huge amount of this absolutely has to do with religion. Watch this. This is going to fascinate you. All right. I was born into a Methodist house. My dad is a Methodist pastor. He's almost 90. He's still preaching. I was born and raised into a culture and into a theology, and it was only later in life that I had to come to a point of mature calculation to say, I don't know, is this the right place for me or is it not? And I very seriously considered entering into ministry into another denomination, into a different culture, into a different tradition. But instead, I looked and I chose to stay here. Now, watch this. How many of you were born and raised Methodist? Ready for this? Here's the exact opposite. How many of you were not born and raised Methodist? Can you see what the majority is? The majority of us in all three worship services were not born and raised Methodist. Now, here's what I know. If you were born and raised Methodist, what that meant was that at some point in your adult life, you chose to stay Methodist. And there was, for all of us within here, there was a point where you said, I choose this church, this congregation. What was going on in that? Now, maybe it was as simple as you moved into the Spearfish area, into the Northern Hills area, and your home tradition is not represented. For instance, in Spearfish, we don't have a Presbyterian USA church here in the community. So what happens if there's not a Presbyterian? Or there are others. There are all kinds of examples in how that we have no Bereans here. And we have no. But at some point in time, you chose in your adult faith what direction you were going to take. It is incredibly important to realize that we always choose. You chose to get out of bed this morning. You chose to get in the car and come here this morning. You chose. We choose all the time. And what this means is your heart as mine? Does not necessarily mean is your religion like mine? Is your faith like mine? We give people the space and the room beyond our differences, all of the things that are different to us, all the things that separate us. So the question then is, what is it that we have in common? Because those are the important things. If you and I want to agree, if you and I want to argue about the things that separate us, we could do that all day. But finding that which holds us in common is crucial. Is your heart as my heart? Is your heart right with God? Is your heart right with Jesus Christ? Is your faith centered in love? Are you trying to do God's will in your everyday living? Does your love of God create a respect or a fear of God? Is your heart right with your neighbor? Do you try to show people that your love through your actions? Well then, if yes, your heart is right as my heart is with yours. Well, then we come to the second part of the verse. Then give me your hand. Then give me your hand. If your heart is as mine, then give me your hand. And when I say that, I am not saying believe the way that I do, and I'm not saying worship the way that I do. You need to hold fast to your faith, and I'm going to do the same thing. You want a fascinating conversation? I hope you can have these sometime. Go talk to your friends who are Catholic and Lutheran and Baptist and Pentecostal. Oh my gosh, you want a fun conversation? Go talk to a Pentecostal friend. You know, you and I would go to a Pentecostal worship and we would walk out and say, that was nuts. And they would walk into our service and they would walk out and say, oh my gosh, that was boring. Sit down and talk to them about it. Oh, you want a really great conversation? Find a friend who is atheist. There are many more out there than you may think. And you might be surprised of which of them are your friends. Now, ask them, so can you tell me what you believe? And my prediction is you're going to get a couple of responses. One response is a look of surprise. You mean you're actually asking me this? You mean you seriously want to know? And the second response that you're going to get is going to be one in some way, shape, or form that is joy, to say, this is what I believe. This is what we do, is we seek the things that matter and try to set aside what doesn't matter. And what we're asking is, can you love? Can you love me? Can you love me as a brother in Christ? Can you love me as a sister in Christ? Can you love me with patience? Because, oh my goodness, we are so flawed, and we are so stubborn, and we are so difficult to get along. All of us, every one of us, we're all so different. Can you love me? Not with a romantic, oh, you make my heart go pity-pat feeling. No, with a commitment that says, if your heart is as mine, then here is my hand. Give me yours. Can you pray for me, and I will pray for you? Can you encourage me even through all of the difficulties, all of the flaws that I have and you have? And I will encourage you. Can you love me not just with your words, but with your actions? And I will love you in return. Now, this does not say anything goes. That's not at all what I'm saying. In order to enter into these conversations, your faith is going to have to be strong. You are going to have to explore, what does your faith mean? How do you examine your faith? How do you exercise your faith? You're going to have to know. And that is how we are allowed to enter into conversation with others. It's not through indifference. No. It's through strength. Because sincere faith increases the capacity for sincere love. Now, how do we do that? How do we do that? It is all in how you exercise that faith. Are you ready to reach out into your own circle of influence, into your own mission field? Colleen, if you could pull up the video. I want to show you this in just a minute. One of our congregation is going down to Puerto Rico. She wants you to see this. Yep, go ahead. No, you're fine. Just keep on going.
After hurricane, nothing is the same. The first 3 or 4 months, we looking for water at the time. A lot of lines, gas station to find the gas for the cars. Go to the supermarket, go to the bank, it's line all the time. The power going off. Every single day, or every 2 days. Probably 5 hours, 7 hours. Sometime at night and they come in the morning. The gas propane, that's a one, like a mini stove for camping. That's what I use. There's just only one. A lot, you know, 6 months is a lot. With a small island, I think I know it's a lot of work, but we are small. I don't know why they take so long. like us, we appreciate the water. We appreciate the light. A lot of people change. I'm still washing my clothes with my hands. I'm tired, and people's tired too. You know, 6 months is a lot.
That video is about 7 months old. But Josie's not here today, but Josie usually sits right over here. And coming up, Josie is going on a trip down to Puerto Rico, and she is taking her grandson in order to expose him to what's happening and to simply go down and to help. And they've made the connections. Today is Cinnamon Roll Sunday. And by the way, Josie is going to be serving chili after worship next Sunday. And you are invited to come and find out more and to help her in that process. Today is Cinnamon Roll Sunday. We don't do this for just any reason. We do this for a very specific reason. The ones who are behind the counter today are those who are going on mission trip down to Honduras. And when they go, they will, each of them, travel with only their carry-on bag. You have enough room for an extra pair of pants, socks, and a shirt, and get your toothbrush. That's about all the room they have. Their suitcases are filled to the brim with medications. In the eastern part of Honduras where they are going, they are not allowed. You can't just go to the pharmacy to pick up Tylenol. You can't just go to the doctor and get a prescription for antibiotics. They don't have access to these drugs. And so we take these suitcases that are filled. Every single penny that goes into the piggy bank back there is going for medicines. You're participating today in reaching out and loving others. But you know what? It's not about just going to Puerto Rico. It's not about going to Honduras. It's about going to your home, to your supper table, and reaching out in love to the person sitting across from you. It's about going to work and loving those who are with you. It's about going to school and loving and respecting the kids in your classroom. It is about working and reaching out into NHTC and the hospital in Dorset. It is about reaching out into your family, your friends. The question is, how are you choosing to love? And Jesus said, you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, beloved, I give to you a new commandment. Love one another. Is your heart right? As mine is with yours, then give me your hand. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, we pray that you would challenge us, move us, that we might be your people doing your will. We pray, Lord, not that we might change the world in big ways, but that we might be able to change the world in the small ways